don't feel very good in her body tonight. I told my wife I don't probably look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but I had to blow my nose so much today. I just got all that how that is, so. But we'll try. I was hoping maybe, be honest with you, I was hoping either you guys would get in here. Or, but the Lord knows all things. He knows what's best, so. But now, Book of Mark, fourth chapter of the Book of Mark. We'll read a little bit here, and maybe a little, about half a chapter in Psalms, Lord willing, let you pray. The main thing is we get what God wants out of this service. We don't want to hurry and go home, but maybe Naaman looked around at me as they were testifying and talking about enjoying that service. One of these nights, I've been kind of thinking about it anyway, and the Lord puts it on me real good. One of these nights, we're going to have us a testimony service. I've been thinking about it. Not no moaning service either, nothing to the devil. But if you, I'd like one of these nights, I'd like for everybody just to stand up and give a good testimony of what God's done for us. How many knows that'll help us out? Everybody partake in that. You know, I've seen that tribe before, and people seem like the last time I seen that tribe, it lasted about three, and then the devil started getting more glory, I think, than God did. But that's not a testimony. When we testify, we thank God for what He's done. I appreciate the Lord moving for Sherry with Megan there. But when you pay the price, things will happen. I went in on my, still not got to talk to her about it, but I went in, think Sunday, was reading and in my office there, and taped on the computer was a little bag. Said to Chris from Megan, and it was, I don't know if it's an earring, a nose ring, or some kind of ring. I know I've received a few of those, but how many knows if they keep walking the right way, the Lord will help them. He's our friend. He's our friend. In the fourth chapter of Mark, the 35th verse, it said, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I was thinking about this little, maybe we've read this before, maybe several times, but I was thinking, each time as I ought to say, I think the Lord just helps me to see a little more. But as I was reading this, I was thinking about here they were. Christ had, they had entered into a ship and were heading over to the other side. And just as the story says, it's pretty self-explanatory. Or the happening, you know, a lot of times we call them a story, but it truly happened. But just as the Bible records it happened, I believe it happened. I believe they crawled into a ship, and no doubt they were smaller ships, according to the Bible. Said there were other little ships, and obviously there was a crowd that was going with him, and they were heading maybe somewhere. I believe he was heading over to the country of the Gadarenes, I believe. And as they were heading across through there, according to what we just read, he went back and he lay down, and he was asleep in the back of the ship. And as he was asleep back there, the wind began to blow and it began to beat him. If you read it, I think it's in the book of Luke about this this particular happening. The Bible said they were in jeopardy. In other words, they were in trouble. They were getting ready to die. It wasn't one of those deals just you get on a boat maybe and it gets just a little bit shaky. And if you've never been there, maybe one time we were out. Of course, most of you know I used to fish a lot of tournaments. And we were out one time. We went on, I believe we were on Lake Cumberland, and Randall's been down there a few times. He knows what I'm talking about. And you get out in the center of that, and you know, when the water's calm, it's just real peaceful. We got out, and maybe the wind was blowing real hard that day, and a lot of them, we called them Ohio Navy. A lot of people came down from Ohio with their boats, and they were just churning that lake just back and forth. And it got so bad, I think Artie went down with one of them, was fishing with them, and they had to run their bilge pump about all day long to keep the water out of their boats. Seemed like the water, when you get out there and it just gets tossing back and forth, it ain't a, Randall knows now what I'm talking about. It's not a funny feeling to be out there in those waves just chopping. I've been, maybe one time I went and I was out there and I was heading out one morning. There's about 300 boats heading out, and I was heading out, and at one point you could look around and see nothing but water all the way around my boat, about Shannon higher in my head. I couldn't see nothing but water. If I looked all the way around me, that's how bad the water was churned. And I'll tell you, to give you a little shaky feeling inside of you, you kind of reach over and tighten a life vest just a little bit tighter when that happens. But how many knows, you know, a lot of times we read stories and we can't visualize them. But here they were, no doubt it. The Bible said it was at even, so the dark was just getting ready to set. And no doubt they got out there, Jimmy, and them waves begin to go back and forth, and they begin to look. And the Bible said that that the ship was almost full of water. They never had the convenience just to reach over and flip on the switch and they just pump it out the back for them. But here it was, and it was just filling up over and over. And they begin to get scared, if you will. They had a fear about them. No doubt they thought, well, this is over. My life is over. This is going to be the end. But the Bible said they went back and began to wake up the master. Said, Master, dost thou not care if we perish? How many knows that's what we need to do tonight if we're not real careful? I feel like a lot of people's in a lot of storm. Maybe not understanding a lot what they're going through. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a master of a ship tonight that we can call on, Jimmy, and he will hear our cry tonight. He will step up and say, peace be still. As he was saying that, he raised up. No doubt he may have walked up to the front and said, peace. One word, and then be still. In other words, calm down. And the Bible said that the wind ceased. I believe that's probably the levelest that lake had ever been, or sea, or what it was, had ever been. It just leveled right out, and there was a calm come over it. But I want you to understand, he turned around and he looked at him, and he said, and the key, I believe the key scripture in this entire story here is verse 40, when it said, why are ye so fearful? It is a question. How is it that ye have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? You know, maybe that ain't even the thought I had. The thought I had is what the storm brings. That's what kind I was looking at when I was on this. I want you to understand when they, here they were in the ship. I want you to notice one thing there. It said that they were fearful. Said he was in the hinder part of the ship. And they went back and said, Master, doeth thou not care that we perish? I believe they had a little fear about him, Shannon. They thought, sure, well, here we're getting ready to die. They went and woke up the master. And when the master stood up, he began to say, peace be still. And he calmed the wave. He turned around and looked at him and said these words. Said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Notice he's seen fear in their eye. But notice the next verse, what it said. It said, and they feared exceedingly. You mean to tell me they went one minute from fear, afraid they were about to lose their life, to the next minute they had fear exceedingly great. How many knows why they had that? A man just walked up out of the front of the ship, looked out. I've never been on a lake in my life. I've never been anywhere in my life. But by the way, where somebody just looked up, I looked up to the heaven and said, quit snowing, and it quit snowing. Or looked up at the rain and said, rain, I quit falling, and it quit falling. I've never been anywhere where anybody said, wind, I be still, and the wind quit blowing, and the waves calmed down. But how many knows I felt that spiritually in my life? Before, when I thought I couldn't go on, I felt a peace come over me. But he said, they went from scared, being fearful and being scared for their life, to afraid of him. How many knows that's the very reason that storms come in our life? How many knows that's the very reason that storms come in our life today? So that we will fear him, so we'll understand. You say, why? He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? If you were to read in the book of Matthew, he walked down there. Has anybody ever hear the story about the little centurion there?
that went down there and he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I have a servant that is exceedingly vexed. He's possessed, or maybe he's tormenting continually. And he said, I know I'm a man with people under authority, and I know how you are. And he asked Jesus, I said, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but if you would, I'd like for you to touch him. No doubt. And Jesus turned around and said, there's not been so much faith. No, all in Israel. How many knows just this very morning, that's how the day started. Hey, went on down. Anybody remember Brother Peter had a mother-in-law that was very sick? Hey, and he walked into his mother-in-law's house, and here she was laying sick, and Jesus touched her, and the Bible said she was healed. That happened this day. This day, before the storm began to blow, that's what happened. And then at even, I want you to notice one thing. What's amazing about this very story right here is verse 36. He said, when they had sent away the multitude. Now, if you were to just read that account of it, you'd think, well, there's a big crowd there. Jesus dismissed church and they went home. He said, it's ready to go. That ain't what happened. If you read in the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter, 16th verse, right before it happens, it said, when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with the devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. It's almost, if you will, here set Jesus up there, and one after another, wait here, they came to Jesus, what's wrong with you? Dost thou believe? No doubt. He said, dost thou believe that I can heal? And they came to Jesus one at a time, and as they came to him one at a time, he healed every one of them. He cast out the devil that they had. If they had any affliction or infirmity in their body, he healed them. And when everybody was done, everybody got taken care of, Jesus said, okay, and now it's time to go across. No doubt he said, I've got a few more I need to take care of. There's going to be a few on my ship tonight that needs to know. Though they see everything going, I know they see the storm blowing. They need to know tonight that no matter what happens, praise God, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to take care of you tonight. It can blow all it wants to, but I am God. So he said, peace be still. I believe for that very reason. For that very reason, no doubt. Can you imagine that? As I was reading that, I was thinking about that. I had never realized that. But can you imagine sitting for a couple hours watching a man, which they never really sat, because no doubt there was a big crowd in there, and no doubt they were ushering them back and forth. Wait, no doubt they went back there and said, what do you need? Did you need something? And they brought him to Jesus and said, here, Jesus. Because how many remembers that's how, what kind of we? Because when the children want to come unto him, they go, oh, no, we ain't got time for you. We got more important things. Jesus said, suffer not the little children. To come unto me, how many knows tonight? He was a man that was well sought after. How many knows that's why they got things done? Here today, Sister Sherry would have never been able to give the testimony had she not well sought for Megan's soul today. How many knows that's what we're neglecting to do? Amen. He said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? That's the way we begin to feel sometimes, isn't it? If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn over to the 107th chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalm 107. That's it. I don't think I'll hold you very long. I think I have. Psalm 107. Verse 15. We find this reading. Psalmist here is looking back. Just as a few have tonight in their testimonies. He was looking back at all God had done. And in verse 15 he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Not praise him because he's God, but praise him for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men, to us. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates
of death. Imagine that. Fools, the Bible said. Fools, because of their transgression and their iniquities, are afflicted. They are so abhorred all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. So why should a man praise God? Because verse 19 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How many know how Christ did exactly that? How the Bible said, at His word. If you look into Matthew 8:16, there He said, at His word, He healed everyone. How many knows tonight that all the problems we have, His word will heal tonight. And no matter what it be, Brooke, His word will heal it tonight. And no matter where we're at in our life, what we're going through, God's word will heal any problem we have. He said, and He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, now no doubt He was probably prophesying right there. He was probably prophesying that He sent Christ. His word, and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Then He said in verse 23, they that go down to the sea in the ships, that do business in great waters, They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and the raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven and go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits end. How many believe they've ever been there before? How many felt like I feel like how that the waves are as high as the heavens, and they how the bottom of that wave goes almost down out of the bottom of the earth today? I fear, I've told, I've tried all I can do, and I feel like I'm at my wits end. How many knows there's only one thing left to do? How when you get in that shape today, there's no sense in running, there's no sense in patting yourself on the back, begin a big old pity party and begin to cry. But how many knows today how we need to cry out to God with all that is in us? He said, they are at their wits' end. Then what happens? Verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Notice what He said, though. He said, go down to the great waters. They know God. They see His marvelous works. So when they're out there, the waves get high. They go down, and there are their wits end. What happens? They cry out to God. He delivereth them in their affliction. What does He do? He just reached down there and pulls them out of it? No, the Bible said, what did He say? He said, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. And listen what He says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. How many knows if we ain't careful how the storm, what the storm will bring by is a little bit of praise. Amen. Just a little bit of praise to the
the Master today. How that's all He's requesting from us. That's all He desires from us. A lot of times I know, you know, especially in holiness, we kind of preach a dress code a little bit, and we preach a sanctified life, and that's right today. But I'm here to tell you, God does not desire all of that. He wants to see you do all of that. But His desire today is that you praise Him today. His desire today is that you honor Him today. His desire today is that you fear Him today. He wants your undivided love today. He wants to share it with no one. He loves you today, and He wants you to give it to Him. If we're not real careful, you know, our children, we want our children to love us. We do good things for them. But how many knows I've raising the last one, but I've got two of them. I think we raise them all of our life or rear them all their life. But how many knows out of being a father for 21 years, one thing I noticed from my children, when I got the greatest love from them, was not when I was handing them presents. What happens when you hand a child a present? Just taking it, Christmas is coming up, and we all, if we're not real careful, we've took it plumb out of perspective what it really is. And don't get me wrong, I love giving gifts, and I love seeing people's eyes light up and the joy that I know they love. But I'm here to tell you, Naaman, maybe over the last decade or so, we've got into what we call the electronic age, and kids get all of this, and you can go out and spend some hard-earned money on a real nice game console or a real nice electronic device. And when you hand it to that child, you've worked hard and you gave it to that child because you love it. How about that child? Oh yeah, it reached up and said, "Oh daddy, I love you," and he give you a kiss. How about almost as quickly as it done that, it run to the bedroom, begin to plug and hook everything up, and for the next 2 months that's all they done, has sat there glued to that device, doing this or doing that. How about how many knows today, when the child wouldn't walk in the way it needed to, and you had to go over and say, "Daddy loves you," tears in your eyes. I'm not one of those that believes in grabbing, beating them to death, screaming, kicking them, calling a missing there. But you can do it with love today. I correct your children just a little bit. It won't be very long. You know what they'll be doing? Crawl right up in your lap, Brother Elmer. They'll be sitting right up in your lap going, "Daddy, I love you," kissing on you. I saying, "Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you." You know why? You taught them just a little bit of reverence. I taught them just a little bit of godly fear. I realize today that you're leading. You know what's best for them. How many knows that's how God is? And even greater than we are. You know, sometimes we'll whoop them because they get on our nerves. They're screaming in there. We got a headache. They need to be whooped. They shouldn't be screaming and acting mad. But a lot of times, you know, just get in there. How many knows God don't need anything from us? He don't need anything from us. He's got everything. He's God. He's God. I'm afraid today, the storms that I see coming, I see people going through storms. It don't bother me they go through storms. I read all through the Bible, people's went through storms. You know what bothers me about the storms we see today? People go through them. At the end of the storm, there's no fear. There's still no reverence for God. They can go through things, Naaman. I've seen it over the past years. They'll go through things, get down, right down, and begin to call on God. "God, you got to come help me." God will deliver them out of what He delivered them out of, Jimmy. And almost as quickly as He delivered them out, maybe 1 or 2 days, 3 days a week, they'll cry, thank God, and then He's run right back to their devices. Run right back to their devices over and over and over. You say, "Why does that worry you, Chris?" You know, I know everybody's living in an era where we're expecting somebody to come out with a nice computer chip. We're expecting something that's going to be going in her hand or going in her forehead. They're saying, "You got to take this number. You ain't going to be in buy and sell." And we're all sitting back scared. But when I read the Word of God, He never told me in there anywhere other than, "Well, it is going to be a sin." But when He told all that, though, that wasn't what it was about. Bible said, "How to fear God." I come to the conclusion. The preacher said, "Of the whole matter, of the whole duty of men, what is it? How to fear God. I keep His commandment. For this is the whole duty. He ain't worried about all this stuff. It's not a sin for me to buy groceries. If it is, I'd be in trouble. It's not a sin for me to buy a car. If it is, I'd be in trouble. But it is a sin for me not to fear God. It is a sin for me to live to myself and not live to God today. What the storm brings is a little bit of fear It seems like the storms, Mason, we're going through the day, they don't bring the fear like they need to. You know, we come to church a lot of times, and I know I say this over and over and over and over and over, and we sit around. I can't make you do anything. Nobody in this church can make you do anything. But how many knows God? I feel like today, God is pleading with us today. God is begging us today with all the best love He can. Maybe a lot of things we're going through, and it seems like I've had my fair share over the last couple of weeks. It seemed like over and over and over things have happened, but how many knows today? I still know that God is real. I still know that God is love. I still know that God cares for me. Maybe I ain't reverencing Him like I need to. Maybe I ain't doing something I need to. But I'd sure like to know. Because I said Sunday night, all that's going to matter is if I make it to heaven or not. That's all that matters. That's all that matters, Naaman, is whether I make it to heaven or not. You know, a lot of times, And that's not to be dismal down here. I enjoy my life. I enjoy my wife, my children. I'm one of the very few who enjoys my job. Amen. I do. I've often thought, I'm glad I got a job. I'm glad I can get up. But you know, a lot of times my body seems like it don't enjoy it. I tell them I'm almost allergic to air anymore, seems like, because everything I do seems like it just kind of sniffs me up and stuffs me up and all of that. I wish that wasn't that part of it. But how many knows I enjoy going in? Naaman probably knows what I'm talking about. Me and Naaman's worked a lot together. We kind of enjoy our job. You know, you kind of go in. I love going in, having a big old stack of lumber, and maybe in a few days or a few weeks, ever what the project is, I can stand back and look back, and I filled up somebody's house with some nice cabinetry, or I've done some nice trim work or something of that nature. That's what I do most of. But how many knows that's very enjoyable for me? It's very enjoyable on Friday receiving a paycheck, knowing that my little wife might want to go out and get something to eat. I might be able to pay a little bill or do something like this. How many know that's just part of life? I enjoy that today. But praise God, I enjoy more than anything is the blessings of God today. I'm feeling God down in my soul. The peace of God. I praise God that passeth all understanding. How many knows I enjoy that more than I enjoy anything? That's what I enjoy today. I enjoy the fact that what if, Sherry, we all run through problems. What if Sister Sherry had the deep love she's got for Megan and Marcus? What if you never had a God to go to? What if Marcus couldn't have had that peace when you were giving your life to God, doing what the Bible commands? What if He wouldn't give you that peace? He wouldn't go along. I know how that feels. I know how that feels. I've been out there. I've seen things come by. Nothing you can do about it. Well, who do you call? Who do you call? Who do you call? I tell you who I call. Manly, 3:00 in the morning, I tell Manly, call your mom. Have her pray. Call your mom, have her pray. Oh, I can't do it. I still call Madeline. I remember one morning I woke up about 4:30 in the morning. My back hurt me so bad. I was in real bad shape. I had some symptoms and was real concerned about it. Hurting so bad, I was laying right down in the floor. About 4:30 in the morning, and my dad said, what do you want me to do? I said, call your mom. I call your mom. Call anybody you know that prays. I have them praying for me. How many knows God come by? And by about 6:30, I seemed like I still had a few problems. But it seems like the pain was gone. It wasn't like it was, God. And I'd never done anything but just drink a little bit. How many knows today that I'm glad I've got a God? How when the storm blows by, how that I can call out to? I can say, I remember one day I said, and I was at Midtown Park, almost in downtown. I received a call that my daughter, I'd been run over by a four-wheeler. She wasn't breathing, maybe a doctor out or what have you. How many knows when I came down through her, I was glad I had a God I could call out on and say, God, I need you right now. About 22 minutes, I drove from there to I was sitting in Brill Hospital, and she was sitting on the front porch, smiling very big, run over and jump in daddy's arms. Ain't you glad you got a God like that? Ain't you glad you got a God like that? When the storm comes by, you can call out to Him. I was crying and driving through the tears, saying, God, I need your help. That's my baby. I need your help, Lord. He came right by. He came right by, just as Darrell said. Maybe everything was going good for her and Alex 3 years ago.
But one trip to the hospital and one test result has forever.
You know, we go through things that day changed my day. But God can bring things by that can change your life. You can change your life. Change your priorities. Change your priorities. Change your priorities. That's the God we serve today. Not just thank the wind. The wind obeys His voice. When He says, peace, be still, the wind obeys His voice. I said, I read where fish obeyed His voice. Donkey obeyed His voice. The wind obeyed His voice. What's not under God's control today? You're right, nothing. 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 Even me, I think often, as I get ready to get a song, I think often. You know, you preach stuff like that. Talk on stuff like that, read stuff like that, study stuff like that. If we're not real careful, one of Naaman's famous scriptures he likes quoting, beholding ourselves in the glass, walketh away and forget what manner of man we are. If we're not real careful, that's the power of the enemy today. You know, a lot of times we'll preach on things and people, different ones. Maybe tonight someone come up and say, well, I had to get rid of this. You know, I had to move it out maybe, and it was kind of condemning me. I mean, when we preach on a lot of that and a lot of that stuff, I told him, I said, I understand it fully. That's the same way I am. There's some things in my life that if I'm around, it's just addictive, and I just got to get rid of it. And, you know, you got to put it away from me. It'll draw you in and begin to steal your victory. But how many knows today that the main thing that I got to deal with from the very day from the very morning that I get up every day, out of the last thing I do, I go to bed that night, and if I ain't careful, He'll wake me up in the middle of the night and try to bother me a little bit in the middle of the night, and that's me. That's me. Because when I realize things like that, when I leave and I walk day by day, do I acknowledge God for who He is? When I'm having a hard time at work, things are not going well, do I acknowledge God? Do I acknowledge God? How many knows that's why God chose us? That's why God chose us. I feel like a lot of reason, a lot of thing that goes on in here is not because of what's in here, or maybe because of things we're doing in here. It's because of things we're doing out there. If we're not realizing, we got to, people don't realize it. But we talk about the services we used to have. I remember one night being right out here. Somebody run outside and said, smoke's coming out of the building. Maybe it was on fire. It was on fire, but I'm here to tell you, it had never burned down. What was happening in here, I praise God, was something I feel like it needs to happen today. We need to have a revival in here. We need to have a revival in our nation today. Out of where the smoke of God, out of the things of God, church, I will make us do what we need to do. But a lot of the reason they done that, Randall, you was raised in a holiness home. I remember they prayed every day. God was on their mind. If they done a job, God was on their mind. If they were raising a garden, God was on their mind. They'd plant the garden. Madeline, I've helped her plant before. She's quite picky when she does a garden. She'd plant it. She'd say, Lord, help it to grow. It wasn't a speech to her. It was a true, sincere, heartfelt prayer. You know why? That's how she fed her family. Lord, help it grow. I like to get God more in my life. I'm not saying I don't have Him in my daily life. I try to put Him in my daily life. But I like to get Him more, and I'd love to see you get Him more. Because how many knows that's where our strength's at today? That's where our strength's at today. Maybe if you feel like coming and praying, I'm going to let you pray. I know that was pitiful, but come and pray tonight. God is a wonderful God. It's everybody will come to the altar. Come on, saints.